The reading is written in Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we prepare to look at God's word, let us first pray. Father God, the cross of your Son is so glorious, so rich, and so wonderful that we will never fully grasp it. But Lord, we do pray that you will give us a greater glimpse of it this morning, and that in seeing him on the cross, seeing him risen again, seeing him ascended on high, we might see in Jesus our freedom and our hope and our glory in his glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Monday, Harry Frost and I went up to London to a launch event at All Souls Langham Place. It's a launch of a new course to run along with A Christianity Explored. And on that trip, there were two moments which spoke to me about our topic today. The first was that we sat down in the balcony of All Souls, and I had on my left-hand side the Vicar of Holy Trinity, Red Hill. And then in walked a couple who sat next to him. And that couple was Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. Now, if you are sort of been involved in the Christian world, you realise that this is a massive name in the Christian evangelical world. Nikki Gumbel wrote the Alpha Course, and he is now vicar of a massive church in London, Holy Trinity, Brompton. You know, in my view, that is Christian celebrity, and they were sitting just alongside us. And then, during the little break, at which point we were given ice cream, which was very nice, I was chatting to Mick, the vicar of Holy Trinity, and they leant over to join our conversation because they were interested in what we were saying. And do you know what? That night I got home and I went to bed and I couldn't sleep because I was wondering, were they impressed with me? Had I impressed the impressive? I was concerned with what they thought of me. And then on the way home, we got to Victoria Station, we got to the barriers, and Harry and I noticed two people having an argument just before going through the barriers, and that's because one man was cross with another man for having got ahead of him into the barrier, and he didn't think that was on. And at first sight, it seemed to be that the first man was cross that his journey had been delayed. But of course, that couldn't be the case. First of all, because it was Southern Rail, and so the train was going to be delayed anyway. But secondly, because they spent about 5 minutes arguing rather than going through the barrier, they both could have gone through with no trouble at all. Why did that happen? Well, because the first person was concerned with what others thought of him. He was concerned that he was appearing weak or an easy ride for somebody to push in front of him. We are, in reality, people imprisoned by the opinions of others. Well, how widespread is this? Is it just because I'm a particular particularly insecure individual. I am a particularly insecure individual, but is it actually true of other people? Well, I thought, okay, well, let's do a bit of diagnosis here. Have you ever exaggerated your achievements? Just sort of boosted them a bit. Like, for me, you might have thought I was more than a very ordinary rugby player and a slightly better rower from some of the things I've said. Have you ever found yourself embarrassed? Have you ever found yourself telling little white lies because you're concerned with what the truth might look like? Do you find it hard to say no to people when they ask you to do something? Have you ever found yourself afraid of being exposed? You know, I remember as a teacher, my constant fear was people would suddenly discover I wasn't as good as they thought I was. Have you ever got angry about what someone has said to you? Have you ever worried about what you will wear? Have you ever felt aggrieved that your achievements weren't fully recognised and others less deserving were? And have you ever avoided talking about being a Christian or about Jesus? The list could go on, but I'm guessing that one of those will have chimed with you. The reality is we are all concerned about what other people think of us. In fact, when you peel back the layers, when you let the Lord really search your heart, you see that it's more than just a concern, it is an obsession. And in fact, a form of prison. And it's a cruel imprisonment. Why? For two reasons. One is you can never really know what other people are thinking. I'm wondering about Nikki and Pippa Gumble. Did they go away and think, wow, he was so profound? We must get him to come and speak at Holy Trinity Brompton and maybe, you know, launch a new course to be better than Alpha. Or were they thinking, he was trying a bit hard, wasn't he? He was trying to impress us. It's a little bit sad. Well, I'll never know, although the fact that they didn't actually ask me for my name or where I was from does have an indication, perhaps, of what they concluded. So we can never know what others really think. And once again, we often end up imagining what they're thinking, and we never know. But secondly, we can never be good enough. We can never feel that we're good enough. We always want to impress more, and so we lie. We boost our good points before other people and cover up our bad ones. We work harder and harder at work, desperately trying to impress the people for whom we work. We are really concerned with how we appear because we can never be good enough. In short, our lives become imprisoned, ruled by what others think. We have a desire to be free, yes, but we find ourselves imprisoned. And well, we're going to find today that there is a freedom we can find. And somewhat surprisingly, it is found in a man hanging on a cross. It is found in Jesus' death for us. So let's look at Galatians and first see that they were experiencing the same slavery that we did. What is this Galatian slavery? Well, there is a book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, there is a group who were enslaved. It was a slavery coming out of the desire to impress others. Follow with me in Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. There was an issue going on in the Galatian church. The first Christians were all Jews, and that meant that they were all obeying the Jewish law, the Old Testament law, including being circumcised. But then, of course, non-Jews became Christians, and that then led to a crucial question. Should those new non-Jewish Christians have to start obeying the law, including being circumcised? Obviously, this was a big issue, in particular for half the people who became Christians. Would they have to get circumcised? Well, some people were insisting that the answer was yes. You need to obey the law, and in particular, certain features of the law, to be right with God, to be good enough for God. But Paul says no. He says, actually, the way of salvation is and always has been by grace and through faith in Jesus. But here in the letter of Galatians, Paul points out their motive, and it is a surprising one. It turns out, and we'll come back to the desire to impress God, it turns out that that desire to impress God has led them to another desire which is imprisoning them, the desire to impress others. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Here, flesh just means by means of what others can see about them, by means of what is obvious. It's very clear in Galatians, and do listen when they go online to Harry's talks on Galatians, they're excellent. It becomes very clear that this group of people aren't really worried about our hearts, but how we appear, what we do. So why does this happen? Why were they so desperate to impress, and why do we become so desperate to impress? Well, let's read on in the next part of the verse. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. It turns out, you see, that the desire to impress others is actually born of a fear of others. It's born of a fear. And here what was happening was this group were turning away from the cross of Christ and looking to other things to become marks of why they're good enough, because the cross would lead to them being persecuted by others. Others would not be impressed. And the reason for that is the cross isn't liked by a world. The cross leads to one of two reactions if you truly understand it. Either you hate it, or it is the most wonderful news in the world. One writer wrote this. He said, if you neither hate it, nor you think it's the most wonderful news in the whole world, it's because you have not understood it. You see, the cross is offensive. It's a crucified man, and a crucified man was a cursed man, condemned both by human judgment and divine judgment. Look at Galatians chapter 3 to see more of that. Secondly, the cross is humiliating. It says about us that we can do nothing to make ourselves right with God. Only his mercy and grace will make us right. And finally, the cross is dangerous. How dangerous the language of grace and forgiveness is. You see, you can see the point, can't you? That once you say that actually you're made right with God simply by his grace and forgiveness, people start saying, well, what's your motivation for doing good? You know, the desire to impress others and to be good enough for God is quite a good ethical standard, isn't it? It encourages you to be good. With this grace and forgiveness lot, why would anyone be good? And so the cross was not popular. And it still isn't popular when we preach it truly. What was popular was being good people, doing the right thing. That will impress other people. It was a thoroughly, if you like, middle class message. But the reality of trying to impress others, or being concerned about what they think, of trying to be good enough for them, is that it is ultimately born out of fear. We have become slaves to the opinions of those around us because we are afraid. But there is a deeper reason, which I mentioned at the beginning. We want to impress others because we think it's a way of impressing God. That's really the heart of the message of Galatians. They wanted to be good enough for him. They didn't want to rely on grace and forgiveness. They wanted to do things to win God's favor. But there is a problem. They can never be good enough. Paul says this in the next verse. Not even those who are circumcised, one part of God's law, keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul explains this again or previously. It says, for all who rely on the works of the law, that means being good enough for God, are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Here's the problem. We want to impress God. We want to be good enough for him. But it turns out because he's a good and holy God and hates evil, if we get even one thing wrong, we're lost. Instead, the only way we can be saved is by his undeserved grace. It's a hard message for us to hear. If you like, our pride rebels and our fear rules. We don't want to accept that we are that guilty, and we don't want to have to accept that we are that helpless before God. I was doing a teaching session yesterday, and people were looking at the parable where blind Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, and his friends beg Jesus to heal him. And somebody said something which I never really thought about, that begging. They came to Jesus begging him. We don't like the idea of coming to Jesus and begging him, saying, no, because a beggar has nothing to offer back, just says, please, please, please give me what I cannot claim. The message of the cross is we are totally at God's mercy. It leaves us out of control. We like to think we can earn God's love because then it means we might be able to control it. So we start focusing on a few things. We can't keep everything, just a few things. Maybe we're the sort of people who don't cheat on our taxes, or we turn up for work on time and we work a good day, or we're reliable people, or we are people who always get things done. We're practical people. We're intellectual people. We find something to make us feel good about ourselves before others, so that we'll feel good before God. For the Galatians, it was circumcision. Do that, cut off that bit of skin, and that will mark you out as good enough for God. But the nagging doesn't go away. That fear that it isn't enough doesn't. So what we do is we form a group of people who agree with us, and we become mutually encouraging about this way of being good enough. That's what they did. It says in verse 13, not even those who are circumcised keep the law, that nagging fear. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. Look, we're a successful group. We're the growing group within the Galatian church. We must be right. We must be good enough for God. We are impressive. We want people to be like us. We do the same, don't we? We hang out with people who have the same standards as us. And we all tell each other that we're good enough. And part of that is because we look at others and we say they're not good enough. But this desire to be good enough, this attempt to be good enough, becomes a slavery. It becomes a yoke around our necks. We become like cattle and oxen, pulling this heavy plank of wood across our shoulders, dragging our need to be good enough. We become, as a result, slaves to what others think of us. We become riven by division and conflict as we form our little groups with their walls. And we become insecure that we're not good enough. And so we try harder and harder. And that might be in our work environment. It might be in our social environment. It might be in our homes. We try harder and harder to be good enough. But here, we remember the wonderful truth about the cross. So what Paul says in verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He says in the cross, he finds a way that all of that attempt to try and be good enough to impress, that slavery dies to him. It has no hold of him. It is dead to him as he is dead to it. It's the wonderful freedom of the cross. In chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says this, just to say, if you were a Christian in the 1980s, it's very hard to read this verse without getting the pronunciation all wrong, because there was a song which went, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. No, join in no longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. Obviously, it was just me and Katie who sang this. Thank you, Richard. Thank you. So, yes, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be burdened by this yoke of slavery. I see slavery. I can't say yoke of slavery. And that's the message of the cross. We can have the yoke broken. That lump of wood across our shoulders that drags us down is broken from our shoulders because another man carried a lump of wood up to a hillside where he was crucified, where his perfection became ours and our inadequacies were taken by him, where his relationship with the Father was given to us, and the wrath and judgment we deserved was taken by him. The whole of the book of Galatians is a book about how we have been set free by the cross of Christ when we put our faith in Jesus. When we say, no longer am I going to try and be good enough. No longer am I going to try and impress others. I now just look to you. And so we find a freedom. Freedom from the slavery of trying to be good enough. Freedom from the fear of not being good enough. Freedom from the worry about what others think of us. Freedom from the boasting and the fear of being found out. Do you want to be able to say what Paul said earlier in our service in 1 Corinthians 4? I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. Do you want to be able to say that? Do you know what? I love you, but I don't care if I don't impress you. Wouldn't you love to be able to say that? When you next go to work, when you next come to church, when you next go to your social place, when you're next with your family, wouldn't you love to be able to say, I love you, but I don't need to impress you? What freedom. Can you imagine that yoke just slipping from your shoulders? You discover in the cross a new way of living, a new way of boasting. You boast, not in your own achievements here. Notice this. Paul doesn't say, I'm going to boast in how great I am. I'm going to boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to boast in him, not in myself. It's a remarkably humbling boasting. It's not like boasting in your children's achievements, because really you're saying, what sort of parent am I? It's not even sort of boasting in your nation's achievements, because that's sort of saying, what sort of person must I be as another British person? It's boasting in someone who stands over from you. It leads to us becoming really three things. First of all, incredibly chilled out. But suddenly, we're not afraid, and we're no longer feeling judged, and we're no longer feeling the need to impress. Because actually, our hope and our security is found in what Jesus has done, not in what we have done, do, or will do. The pressure is off. If you put your faith in Jesus, you've already been found good enough. I want to say a quick comment here to parents amongst us. Do we make this the hallmark of our parenting? Do we actually want, number one, that our children know that it doesn't matter how well or badly they do, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, if they put their trust in the Lord Jesus, they have already been found perfect by their Heavenly Father? You see, all of the parents around us are telling the opposite. They're saying, be good enough, work hard enough. And so we place the yoke on their shoulders. We think we're helping them. We think as a result they'll get a good job and all the rest of it. Worry about what other people think of you. How many times do we actually give that message even if we don't say it? Some of us, our children are already grown up, and perhaps we need to repent to the Lord about our parenting, and perhaps we need to try and make it right now. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides forgiveness and healing. So we can become chilled out. As a parent, I don't need to worry what other people think about my parenting. I don't even need to worry about what other people think about my children. So it's chilled out. It is also joyful. Why? This leads to a freedom. That the world with all its pressures has died to me. Look at that phrase. I love this. Through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You see, being part of this new creation, he then goes on to say, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. The new creation says, I've been accepted by God. And so I can sit lightly to this world. I'm just a traveller passing through. I don't need to chase after the things which other people chase. I don't need to win the approval of this world. I don't need to try and live to its standards, because I've already been saved by the judge of the universe. And finally, it will make us courageous, a freedom that makes us courageous. Don't you want to be a courageous person? Don't you hate the fact those times when you duck out of something because you're afraid? Look at Jesus, the most courageous person who ever lived. He went before his accusers. He was mocked, He was ridiculed, and he was wrongly accused. And he didn't need to say a word. He didn't say, no, you're wrong about me. You've got it wrong. That's not right. He was just silent. What courage. I remember reading an Andy McNab book. Do you know Andy McNab, former SAS bloke? And he talks at the end of one of his books about how he was once asked by a child, what's the most courageous person he's ever known or ever heard of? Now, Andy McNab's not a Christian. He said Jesus. That he could go through all of that and not fight back. The reality is the number one thing which holds me back from serving Jesus is probably fear of what other people think. But you and I are freed of that if we put our trust in the cross of the Lord Jesus. So how do we do this? Well, it means that we have to remind ourselves of what is true when we know Jesus. We need to keep on reminding ourselves of this freedom. Every time we find ourselves thinking about, oh, what do they think about me? Or mulling over in my mind or having arguments in my head with other people. Every time I find myself spending too long at something because I'm worried about what people think. Every time I feel pressure, I need to say, the cross has set me free. Because the only judge that counts is the one who has saved me and forgiven me. Let's have a moment or two of quiet and then I'll pray. Maybe just at this moment, let the Lord, by his Spirit, open your heart to you and show you the ways in which you have been imprisoned by the desire to impress others and to be good enough for them and for him. Father, I pray that for those here who have put their faith in your Son, that right now, by looking at his cross, his death for us, you might release the hold of that slavery. You might break the yoke from our shoulders. And Lord, when we pick up that yoke again, that you would break it again. You would cause us to remember who we are because of his death. And Lord, I pray for those who haven't yet put their faith in Jesus. Lord, I pray right now you would speak into their hearts. You would show them the glories of this freedom and that you would open their hearts so that they might say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want you more than anything else. I want your forgiveness and your salvation. I give my life to you and I thank you for freeing me. Amen.